You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. All inanity, meaningless, useless shit. Let's
actually start talking about something real.
Hello and welcome to the China Shop. Step right in. Come on. Come on. We are just so fucking happy that you're here with us today. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. Kyle, how are you doing today?
I'm a little nervous. I thought the Virgin Galactic test flight was today when I woke up this morning. Now I have to wait another day to see if I just risked way too much money. Yeah, we can talk about that when we get to the stupid things that we did this week.
That's right. Oh, come on into the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, rage against the hedge machine. We're welcoming any new listeners to the shop just joining us. We are here smashing our way around, trying to find a complete set of unsmashed china, but it's hard to do when you smash china to see what's underneath it. I don't know. We haven't figured that part out yet, but we know that step three is profit. So,
profit.
Welcome to the shop. Fantastic. Glad you're here. If you are new to stock trading in general, we've got a lot of beginner episode options out there to get you caught up to speed. If you don't know any of the vocabulary, now might be a good time to pause the podcast and go brush up on that. We've got some of that beginning stuff on financialineptitude.com. We'll have all those links and fun stuff in the episode description. But the best place to be, whether you're new or not, is join us on our Discord server. Kyle and I are on there every day. It's just really an awesome place to be. Every fucking day.
We actually got our first pumper, or shill,
yes,
or whatever you
want
to call them. That was really exciting.
Yes, we did.
Block the shit out of her.
Yeah, that was not fun. I'm going to join your Discord server and just chat. I'm just going to post a stock quote to a penny stock.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Here's another stock ticker. It's like, what? Stop it.
It's got great fundamentals. No, it doesn't.
No, it
doesn't.
It's
in the middle of a lawsuit trying to raise. And then don't tell me it's not share dilution when you're selling shares that have been locked up by the company.
They offered a subscription plan for existing shareholders to buy new shares monthly. That's
to pay their legal bills.
Yeah. I like a company who's got products they're selling, not, well, they're going to win a lawsuit, and that'll make them a huge amount of cash. That'll bring the stock up. Like, no, that lawsuits is not good income strategy for a company. Sorry. Anyway. So we are on that Discord server. We're banning shills left and right. No, we just had the one. And we did give her a chance to step up and be a good community member, but she did not take that chance.
No.
So, when you do find your way onto that Discord server, make sure to send us a private message with your home address, and we can send you some smash-it-yourself mugs or shot glasses straight from the shop. I love those new shot glasses, Kyle. Well, sit back, folks. We got a libacious, loquacious, drunkenly show. Drunkenlicious? Drunkenlicious?
Those are terrible adjectives.
What do you give me? Give me one.
Neutral.
Starts with an L.
Oh. Why L?
I like alliteration. We got lots of market moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than beers at a tailgate here in the China Shop.
Normally, you only have one beer to choose from. Usually, it's Bud Light.
Well, what makes you think I was referring to different brands? I could have just meant the quantity of beers.
Oh, well, it's not really a choice if they're all the same.
Well, each can has its own personality, and when you don't pick it and you pick its neighbors, it gets really sad.
I do like to make sure they all taste the same.
Reach out to us. We love your messages and comments on the Twitter and Facebook and Discord. If you're old school, just...
Is it too late to throw long into the descriptions?
We got a libacious, loquacious, long show for you today. reach out to us. If you're old school, you can shoot us an email at the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. That's 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. Or you can give us a phone call at 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe you're in love for the first time in your life and you need to share it with everyone. It doesn't matter. We just love it when you reach out.
Or maybe you lost your ring to a sneaky little bastard who just challenged you to a riddle game and you lost.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. God damn those hobbitses.
You tell it movie I just watched yesterday.
Yeah. love me those hobbit movies. All right, Kyle. We gotta talk about show news.
The only thing we really got coming up on the docket is the Chris Mamula interview that should be this coming week. Last bit of show news. We'll be guesting on George Papazov's podcast, Market Over or Mind Over Markets. I don't have a date yet. We're hoping to record that this coming week, but once we get more information on that, we'll make sure to share that with you guys.
Yes.
It'll be my first time guesting on another podcast, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast.
Yep, I already looked at his show notes, too, and I'm already trying to... Like, I want the conversation to be organic, but at the same time, like, I'm already, like, going through my head, like, the actual conversations that we're going to have. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be... Oh, I'm so excited for it.
Yeah. We'll be for sure posting links to that when it comes out. Let's talk about some news.
God damn, yes, please.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are, it's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now it's time for China Shop News.
All right, Kyle, what do you got for us?
I think the biggest story of the week was Biden's executive order targeting big tech firms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, specifically the data collection and anti-competition practices, where the big tech firms basically buying up smaller companies.
Yeah.
I think Facebook was scrutinized for like the Instagram and WhatsApp purchases they made over the last decade. I don't know. I'm really happy to see this, but I'm not holding my breath that anything's going to come out of it. I would love to see the focus on the personal information that they're gathering. Like, I want to see that come under a microscope and be limited severely.
Yeah.
Like, you remember I used to work for the data center commissioning firm? I did that for 2 years, and I just felt gross every time I was going back to work, looking at the fucking servers that they have in these warehouses, knowing that that's all that data is for, is just tracking everything about you.
One of the things that gets under my skin is, like, I bought an Oculus after playing with yours, and I was like, oh, this thing is amazing. I love this VR game.
Oh, yeah. Then the Facebook requiring a login in order to play?
Yes. Yeah. And then, Facebook owns Oculus, they're like, oh, you like our Oculus product? Well, now you have to be a Facebook user to use our Oculus product.
Ugh.
And if you recall, Jen was posting Bernie Mittens photos and Facebook deleted her account.
Oh, I thought it was for her socks and chickens.
So she was doing mittens photos. She had she was posting socks and she was posting chicken photos. And yeah, that was they never gave her a reason. They're just, I think it was their AI did it, and they didn't want to like fess up that they were having AIs banning people.
Oh, I'm sure.
But anyway, that means like she can't use her Oculus anymore. All those games she bought.
Oh, what? Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah, she opened a case file with them, yeah. and they were like, "Yep, sorry, you're done." Yeah. So like,
oh,
I want them to fucking bust Facebook big.
Yeah.
I'm like, you take those fuckers down. They're evil. They're making it so you have to do everything they tell you to do to enjoy any goddamn product. So I'm selling my Oculus. You know, I'm not using it anymore. I'm going to either go PlayStation or something else. Yeah, fuck them. Fuck big tech.
Wow. There's one other bit in the executive orders here, and that was that they're encouraging the FCC to readopt net neutrality again. Oof, which,
thank God.
Yeah, please do that.
Yeah, what was the analogy we finally landed on that was the best way to describe net neutrality?
It's like driving on a toll road and then not being allowed onto the road because you drive a Ford and Ford didn't pay the toll. Also,
that's the way it is now. It wasn't like that in 2017. They revoked net neutrality and it turned back into like, yep, sorry. Your internet's slow because Netflix didn't pay us.
Right.
I know you're paying us to get 60 megabytes a second download, but we're not giving it to you because the people sending it, they didn't pay their end of the deal. It's like, no, yeah. Fuck that. I'm paying for that speed. You give me that speed. It doesn't matter which site I go on.
I think the bottom line is the internet needs to be treated like a public utility because at this point, that's what it is.
It's what it's become. Yeah, exactly.
If a fucking cell phone is a public utility, then guess what? Internet is too.
You know how hard it is to live a life in America or any major industrial nation without being on the internet?
It's almost impossible at this point.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you could do it, but you'd basically be at a cabin in Montana.
Yeah, right.
And I don't worry about offending any listeners, because they wouldn't be listening to this show if they weren't on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck those Luddites.
All right, what else?
Not listening to our show.
What do you got?
I came across something I thought was...
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. There's a poll question that I thought should go with that.
Oh. Yeah, we got a poll question for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, which worries you more, like the two main things that are targeting, the anti-competition or the hoarding of consumer data? Like, which of those two would you prefer to see them focus on?
You know, the older I get, the less I care about my data.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know, that feels just so personal to me.
I know that's not the popular opinion.
The fact is that it's mine, and they're taking it without my consent, and there's nothing I can do about it. That's what's infuriating about it to me.
Well, you can always buy a cabin in Montana.
I know. I'm not too far from that. All right, Dan, what's your story before I cut you off again?
Now, I came across an interesting one, and I don't know what this is a harbinger of, but I feel like it's meaningful. Wells Fargo is closing all of their personal lines of credit.
Huh?
So when you go to your bank and you get like the overdraft protection revolving line of credit, you can use it to like consolidate your credit cards,
right?
You know, I've got one at my credit union, honestly. They just announced that they're ending all of them. So this is going to fuck up a lot of people's credit score, as you know, when you close open credit line, especially with that existing debt, they're going to roll it all over into just basic loans that you can't. You can only pay on and you can't tap into. Everybody, if you're banking at Wells Fargo and you got a personal line of credit, your credit score is about to take a dive.
Well, you're about to lose your line of credit is what it sounds like. That's more of a concern.
Point. they're turning it into a loan, so you still have to pay on it. You know, you still owe that money, but yeah, you can't access it anymore.
Wonder why they're getting out of that business. Are they just not good at screening?
Their statement is, as we simplify our product offerings, we made the decision last year to no longer offer personal lines of credit, as we feel we can better meet the borrowing needs of our customers through credit card and personal loan product. It sounds like they want to shoot you over to something with a higher interest rate.
I gotcha. Okay, I don't understand that one, so I'm not going to comment.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, this is the bank that in February 2020 agreed to pay a $3 billion settlement to the SEC and Justice Department because they were, I don't know if you remember, they were opening fake accounts under their customers' names and charging them fees.
That's right. Hey, aren't they on your pick'em? Wasn't they one of your pick'em list picks?
Wells Fargo?
Yeah.
I don't recall that.
Yeah, they are. I just updated it the other day. Maybe it's time to pull them off.
When did I pick Wells Fargo?
That was a few months ago.
Well, this was before this. No. Well, that's fundamental versus technical analysis.
Right.
You know, the stocks, banks have been doing good. Sorry.
I wonder if it's good for their stock.
Right.
Did you see the news story about the German car makers getting fined for holding back development of tech to reduce emissions? Volkswagen and BMW were both fined about $1 billion for running what they call a quote an emissions cartel.
A cartel.
Yeah, Volkswagen and BMW were fined for colluding with Daimler to hold back the development of technology.
Daimler
to hold back the development of technology that could have been used to reduce harmful emissions from their vehicles. This is really disappointing for me. Like, I thought the Germans like value innovation and like being cutting edge. And to see that they were at the center of this. Volkswagen doesn't surprise me, I guess, right? Because they've done some really shady things in the past that they've gotten caught for doing. This is not the kind of thing I expect from out of the Germans. you know, invading France or those kinds
Poland,
of things.
Yeah,
I understand that. But yeah, making your cars worse on purpose, that doesn't strike me as the MO of the German people.
Well, I think your German roots have you a little biased there, but
maybe a little bit.
You did mention the invasion, so
yeah,
yeah. I do agree. It felt like growing up in my experience and the way I was raised, like I did always have this view of like German business efficiency,
mm-hmm.
and didn't ever really connect that to like shady shit. But hey, they're human too. Guess what?
I know, right?
Greed is universal.
Well, here's what I'm guessing the thing was. I'm guessing it's less to do with money and more to do with making sure they can easily clear the emission standards as they go up. If that makes sense.
Yes.
Like if you're banking technology that can make it better, but not using it yet, you're just waiting for the emission standards to get stricter, and then you can pull it out of the bank and then use it.
Yes. Yes. That was one of the interesting things in the article to me was the even though they're getting fined, the EU was like, look, we know all their cars meet our standards. It's just that they're sitting on technology and could be making it better.
Right.
And so we're fining them for not making it better now. Because the whole point is to, you know, do everything you can, but, you know, obviously not to the cartel in the boardroom. The point was to, as long as we're meeting the legal requirement,
mm-hmm.
I think you put the nail, you hit the nail on the head. Like they want to scale it and phase it with the changes in the law and not just go all out because it's expensive.
Well, yeah, if you've already got stuff in the bank, then you don't have to spend as much money on R&D in that area. You can focus it on other areas to try to improve other things with your cars, I guess.
Yeah, and you don't have to pony up the money to change all your stuff right away.
The other funny thing was the point that you brought up on the Discord was that Daimler was the snitch, so they didn't get fined.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Yeah, yeah.
Sneaky, like sneaky bastards.
Like, oh, hey, EU, we've been doing all this shit, so we thought you should know. We shouldn't get in trouble because we told you.
Yeah.
This is...
I just wonder how you bring that up. Hey, I know some shit about some stuff people are doing, but I don't want to get in trouble. Well, what'd you do? Well, tell me I don't have to get in trouble first.
Right.
Well, I can't tell you that until I know what you did. Well, I can't tell you until I know I'm not getting in trouble.
So anyway, yeah, so Daimler snitches. What was it? Snitches get riches?
Yeah, no, that's not how it's supposed to work.
That should be the title of this episode.
What cars do they make? I don't think I'm familiar with them.
Daimler Chrysler.
Oh, Chrysler. Okay, okay. You got any other stories?
China has just cut its reserve requirements for its banks.
I did see that. They're also like liquidating their stockpiles of all the like precious metals and other shit they've been hoarding for years, haven't they? Yeah.
The raw materials, yeah.
What's going on there? What are they doing? What are they up to?
Well, I think they're selling it off because inflation has put the price up internationally. That's just my personal, like, well, maybe this would be why.
It doesn't seem, I mean, I don't know. It seems like maybe they might be in having some harder troubles.
That's the speculation. I read two different articles about it. Mm-hmm. The one on Barron's, the commentary was from an economist who was saying the intention is to cut help banks with their capital and liquidity to lower their costs so they can lend more.
Mm-hmm.
And the speculation is that the banks are under stress, implying that they've been issuing bad loans.
Right.
That, you know, China has been going after like the fintechs, and so I guess some other people are speculating it could be to help banks move in to fill that gap and do more micro loans now that since they're clearing house.
Yeah, they've been going after a lot of their, like, any company they get. There's like too big to stand is like the Chinese motto.
Yeah, right.
They don't want any company getting too big. I mean, they went after Baba. I think they're going after Baidu next. Yeah, any large company in China, I don't think you want to own any pieces of at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess there was there's a lot of medium-term loans floating around, and so like lowering the liquidity requirements will help
mm-hmm.
banks pay down their own loans, which I don't know how the Chinese banking system works. This is why you've got specialists who study just specific countries.
Isn't that what fucking got Jack Ma in trouble calling the banking system, the financial system, like basically, I don't know, Goodfellas on steroids?
Yeah, yeah, he did. Ooh, yeah, and he disappeared for a while and then came back, was like, no, I'm fine.
China's great.
I'm doing as great as the Chinese banking system.
Jesus.
There's been no re-education. Yeah, I guess so. I guess demand remains weak in China, consumer demand, inflation is short of the government's target. I don't know why they want inflation at 3% over there. I don't know. But their economy is still expected to grow more than 8% this year.
Yeah.
Beating their government targets. So there's probably not going to be any big pressure to step up easing in China. And that would be the end of that story as I see it.
Okay.
Keep an eye on China.
That's the way Dan heard it.
That's the way it is.
I had one other story that I wanted to get through, but then I just remembered something else that I feel like we need to mention.
Oh, what's that?
And I'm trying to look up a story on it real quick here to make sure I can talk like I know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Stock markets were hitting all-time highs this week, right?
Yes, yes.
I think I saw something. Okay, the breadth of the market is in, like, the narrowest it's been since 99 when it hit a record.
Ooh.
That means the lowest percentage of stocks above their 50-day moving average is like the lowest. It's almost the lowest it's ever been. I mean, it's below 50%. So what that means is like there's a lot of concentration on like the stock market's really top heavy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, right, which means if the big cap names start to fall, the whole market is going huge down.
Yeah, and I think
the average.
I think the headline here of the story I did find, I'll make sure I save this so I can post it. It's making stocks even more prone to collapse.
Mm.
Yeah, so you look at one indicator, and there's five companies that are basically dragging it, like the NASDAQ is pretty much owned by FANG, but you know, than 50% of the rest of the stocks are below their 50-day moving average. That's not a good sign.
One of the reasons I'm glad we're learning the TradePro stuff is because if you're a trader, not investor, you trade it with going up, you trade it going down, okay, you're making money.
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
So investors beware. We go if we turn bear, you're in for a scare. Oh god, sorry. So I'll stop rhyming.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, please do. All right, the last thing I wanted to briefly mention is Melvin Capital's down about 50% in the first half of 21.
Wow. Wow.
So yeah, they have not managed to recover from the big hit they were taking. I think it even got to the point now where they've pretty much gotten rid of every short position, like including their puts and all of its public bear. Oh, okay, wait a minute. Said in May, it closed all of its public bearish bets in the fourth quarter. This included its listed put options on GameStop. Let's see. In June, London-based White Scare Capital shutting down after suffering huge losses. Okay, it's just a little headline. It's not really much. Yeah, it's funny that they say they're public bets.
Yeah.
As we learned with hedge funds, I can't remember if this was from talking to George or somebody else, because they have to make money above a certain threshold in order to even like start collecting fees.
Mm-hmm.
The most likely thing that happens when a hedge fund is that far underwater is that they just close the doors and then open up a new hedge fund with a different name.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm guessing Melvin Capital is probably not going to be around too much longer.
Right. Well, and they've got a target on their back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's so many hedge funds. How many can you name? I can't name a bunch.
No.
But I know Melvin Capital.
Yeah.
Right. They've got to rebrand.
Yeah.
To survive. you think, hey Kyle, do you think it would be appropriate for us to send Melvin Capital a link to the George Papazov Mind Over Markets episode of When to Stop Trading?
When you're down 50% of everybody else's money?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, maybe you should just stop.
Yeah. Oof. I don't know. If I lose 50%, who's in charge of the risk management there?
Right, right. Well, whoever they were, they don't work there anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right. Oh, it's interesting because I was on Reddit reading through and somebody had posted a question like, why should I do my own due diligence and deep dives when I can just, can't I just watch hedge funds and smarter people and just follow their trades? Like, why is that a bad strategy?
Everybody else is doing that, unless you get in on them before they do their moves. Like, their moves move markets, too.
Right, and how, you don't know what moves they did until they report it.
Yes, that's exactly, that's my point.
Like, what? Then you're always behind, buying after them, so you're buying higher than them, selling after them, so you're probably selling lower than them. Like, you can't.
It's like the Jim Cramer's buy recommendations. Somebody went back through and calculated all of his different recommendations. Like, on the one day, like, they had huge gains. Like, on the weeks following, like, the 1 month period, it were, like, all hugely negative. And then over the course of, like, the life, they were all, most of them were up. But basically just saying the stock market goes up. But yeah, when everybody gets the information at the same time and they all buy, you don't have an edge. In fact, you should be doing the opposite at that point.
Exactly. And what if you're following a hedge fund like Melvin Capital that was doing really just fine until that this whole debacle with shorting GME and getting a target on their backs, and then boom.
I don't know how likely it is you can follow it. Like you said, there's such a delay in what they report, and they're not even required to report everything, especially when it comes to their short positions.
Yeah.
In fact, the only reason there would be two publicly, you know, publish your short positions would be to try to get other people to short it and help your position out too.
Yeah, or other people to abandon their position and sell.
Get out of their lungs.
To create selling pressure.
Yes, it's all so dirty.
I responded to the poster like, it sounds like you should just be investing in ETFs. Like, if you want someone else to make those decisions, that's what ETFs are for. Here's a link to Kathy Wood.
All right, well, let's get through some sponsors.
Well, folks, just to let you know, friendly little reminder, Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by the infamous Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor focusing on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience and has helped thousands of homeowners, whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even reverse mortgages. And I have a good word that experience of hers grows by the day. She's only getting more experience at this, so call her up. She's licensed in 26 states and growing. Reach out and see what Sue can do for you. Best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904, or you can send her an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. That's SPULLEN at fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number of 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com, and that phone number is 520-977-7904. Reach out to Sue for all your mortgage needs.
Nice.
And we also are affiliates of the Trade Pro Academy, the best place I've ever come across to teach you the technical analysis skills you need to successfully trade the market. Kyle and I both tearing through it. I just finished the foundations course. It's super, super worthwhile stuff.
Yeah.
And even if you already have a successful trading strategy, learning this stuff will just make that strategy better.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there is to it.
That affiliate link will be in the episode description. As we said, we do get a commission if you make any purchases through that link. So it's a great way to help support the show and improve your knowledge as a trader.
Absolutely. All right, should we talk about those crypto news segments?
Sure. Let's do it.
Okay, well, it's really just one big segment, and
look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency.
So there's a Bitcoin metric called the Puel multiple. A guy named David Puel.
What? No
came
way.
Up with this metric.
He's got the same name as his metric. It's a weird coincidence.
Yeah. How do you? Weird coincidence. Not very creative either, I might add. So what he started doing was tracking the daily coin issuance US dollars for Bitcoin, and he'll divide that by the 365-day moving average of the daily coin issuance.
Mm-hmm.
So what that's intended to do is to track how many people are actively mining today and compare it to the total of the average of over the last year.
Interesting. So he's looking at the scarcity of it, basically.
Yeah, and he's using miner sentiment to predict price action, because if you're a Bitcoin miner, you have to pay your expenses for mining the Bitcoin, And how do you do that? By selling Bitcoin.
Right.
So the more that gets mined, the more sellers there are.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
So he tracks this and he's got zones. And so when mining, the how many coins are mined per day shoots up, it's a sell signal.
Mm-hmm.
And when it dips down real low, it's a buy signal. And he just had it dip into that green zone, into that buy signal. And that's what the article is discussing. But I had to actually load up and do a deep dive and find out what the fucking metric was.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, it looks like it's got some pretty good accuracy in the past, which, you know, if you're developing a new metric, yep, it better have good accuracy in the past.
Right? And it does make good sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, based on his metric, you know, Bitcoin is a buy. The last time, on looking at the chart, the last time Bitcoin was in the green zone was, I want to say, the 12th of May, and the price of Bitcoin was 12th of May 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And the price of Bitcoin was $8,800.
Yeah.
That was the last time this indicator flashed a buy signal.
Yeah, it looks like it did pretty well that time, too.
I think Bitcoin's done pretty good. I can't manipulate this chart like I could if I was on a fucking stock chart. No. But the fact is, 27th of June, it dipped down for a day. The fact that it hit that green area at all is to him, like, that's the buy sign. It just happened to hit at 31,495.
All right. Good stuff. What was the bit about Elon Musk? What's he doing now?
Oh, God. Yeah, he's fucking pushing Dogecoin over Bitcoin.
Again?
You know, even though, again, he says Bitcoin and Ethereum are pursuing a... Hold on, I'm going to do an Elon impression. Bitcoin and Ethereum are pursuing a multi-layer transaction system, but base layer transaction rate is slow and transaction cost is high. There's merit, in my opinion, to Doge maximizing base layer transaction rates and minimizing transaction costs with exchanges acting as the de facto secondary layer.
That sounded pretty solid, but I didn't understand a word of it.
Right.
Again, anybody who discounts Ethereum, though, I have a hard time listening to or giving any credence to. Because, like we talked about last week, it's like the backbone of so many other things.
Right? It's becoming the common denominator in all cryptocurrencies.
Right.
But he's saying the base... Yeah, he's saying it's too slow and it costs too much energy.
Oh, so he's back on that again, the greenness of it.
Well, I'm assuming the transaction cost he means by how much energy,
right,
is used. So he's saying the Doge base layer transaction rate and transaction costs are so much lower that it'll...
If that's really his concern, he should be all over Chia or one of those other ones that's the green coins.
Right. I think Alex was correct in describing Elon Musk as a guy who's just playing around and seeing what he can do with his tweets. Like, watch, you know, because you can see that wallet that buys the amount.
Right.
I think he's just pumping and dumping and having fun time seeing how many times he can pump and dump.
But I thought he didn't care about money. He's an engineer.
Well, that's just it. It's not about the money for him. It's about the power of swaying people. I think he's addicted to it.
Yeah.
You know, I think he makes these tweets and he sees Doge go up and he fucking, it gives him a thrill.
I would get a thrill if I could do that.
Yeah, who wouldn't? It's power. It's real power.
Oh, God, I don't think I can be trusted with that power. This show ever gets too big, I'll have to turn over the tweeting to somebody else. Hey, can you tweet about my bet pick? But wait till after open on Monday.
I would really, really, really like to find out what would happen if you had that kind of power. So let's make that all part of the agenda.
Oh, God, I'd probably be in jail. All right.
Yeah. Well, folks, we gotta close up the shop for the day. Thanks for sticking around, and we hope you got some value, learned a little something, maybe had a few laughs. We'll be back at you soon. I don't remember if we got a guest next week. Is Chris Mamola next week?
Chris Mamola next week, and then us on Mind Over Markets at some point.
Coming back at you real soon with Chris Mamola, the retirement king, I think they called him.
We can call him king.
That. Yeah, call him retirement king.
Yeah, why not?
You know, as always, like, subscribe, share, The more the merrier here in the China shop. We're open to everybody as long as you're not a stupid shill just trying to push penny stocks.
Yep.
And until next time, folks, happy trades.
Bye. Doo, doo, doo. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.